Sana blessing, dear ones, for all of the precious family that are joining us in the room, for those that are listening alone on the radio and later on the recording. Sabbath blessing, everyone, on this blessed Sabbath, February 6, 2016. This is lesson 165, chapter 35, entitled Peace Be Still. The opening hymn for our study today is entitled I Shelter in the Time of Storm. In the book is number 528. The Lord our rock in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever time of storm. Mighty rock in the wind, on the burning sand, faithful guide for the pilgrim's band, a shelter shared by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alone, no time of storm. Mighty rock in the weary land, cooling shade on a burning sand, faithful guide for the pilgrim's band, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storm in the time of storm. Will never leave a safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in the weary land, cooling shades on a burning sand, faithful guide for the pilgrim's land, a shelter in the time of storm.
If we could all kneel and bow our heads and our hearts and come humbly before our Godhead. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord Jesus, thank you for waking us up this morning, for giving us the opportunity to enter into another day of your Sabbath rest, dear Father. I pray that you open up our hearts and our ears and our hearts and help it to be receptive to your words, dear Father. Forgive us for our sins and our iniquities and our shortcomings, anything that we have done in this body, known or unknown, dear Father God, I pray, conscious or unconscious. I pray, dear Lord, that you allow us to see it so that we can repent of it, truly repent of it, dear Father God, and give it to you in order for us to continue to walk in your light, dear Father God, I pray. Please be with each and every one of us that are here today. Dear Father, once again, send your Holy Spirit to be with each and every one of us so that we can receive your words, dear Father. But help us not only to hear the words, dear Father, but to be doers of the words, dear Father. To be a light among our homes, among others, everybody that we come in contact with, dear Father God, I pray. One by one, dear Father, I pray. Thank you for all that you have done and all that you will continue to do. Please be with each and every one of us that are here, for those that will be listening to the recording at a later time, for those that are not here with us presently, dear Father, wherever they are, please bless them and guide them, dear Father God, I pray, and keep them according to your perfect will. Thank you for all that you have done and all that you will continue to do in our lives according to your perfect will. Just help us to be patient and to withstand all things big and small, because if only we can see how you choose for us, dear Father God, we would gladly receive it, dear Father. Help us not to be discouraged, dear Father, I pray, but to hold firm until the confidence of our faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The opening scripture of our study today is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 20, from the King James Version, and it reads, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake, and they launched forth." This Sabbath, boys and girls, we will begin a new chapter in our lesson entitled Peace Be Still in our study book, Desire of Ages. If anyone of the dear family would like to take the following verses, Babala.
Matthew 14:22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. Matthew 14:23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. Amen.
Matthew 8:23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Luke 8:23. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water, and they were in jeopardy.
Luke 8:24. And they came unto him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered in the waves, but he was asleep. And that was in Matthew 8:24, and the first verse was from Luke 8:24.
Matthew 8:25. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish.
Amen. Amen. So today we will cover pages 333 through 334. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. We are in Desire of Ages, page 333. Bubble up.
Desire Davis, page 333. It had been an eventful day in the life of Jesus. Beside the Sea of Galilee, he had spoken his first parables by familiar illustrations, again explaining to the people the nature of his kingdom and the manner in which it was to be established. He had likened his work to that of a sower, the development of his kingdom to the growth of a mustard seed, and the effect of leaven in the measure of wheat. The great final separation of the righteousness and the wicked he has pictured in the parables of the wheat and tares, there's an efficient. The exceeding preciousness of the truths he taught had been illustrated by the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price, while in the parable of the householder he taught his disciples how they were to labor as his representatives. Desire of Ages, page 333, paragraph 1.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Question, boys and girls. How had Jesus spoken about his first parables, and what had he likened his own work to? If you have the answer to these questions, even, bubble up.
By familiar instructions, again, explaining to the people of the nature of his kingdom and the manner in which it was to be established, and he likens that of the sower, the development of his kingdom to the growth of the mustard seed, and the effect of leaven in the measure of meal.
Measure.
All day he had been teaching and healing, and as evening came on, the crowd still pressed upon him. Day after day he ministered to them sacredly, pausing for food, for rest. The malicious criticism and misrepresentation with which the Pharisees constantly pursued him made his labor much more severe and harassing. And now the close of the day found him so utterly weary that he determined to seek retirement in some solitary place across the lake.
And stern shore of
the eastern
shore of the Gennesaret was not inhabited, for there were towns here in beside the lake, yet it was a desolate
region
when compared with the western side. It contains a population more heathen than Jewish, and had little communication with Galilee. Thus, it offered Jesus the
seclusion
he sought, and he had now made his disciples accompany him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Question, boys and girls, how was Gennesaret described, and what did the eastern shore of Gennesaret offer him? If you know the answer to the questions, dear one, voila.
Thus it offered.
Jesus. The seclusion.
He sought.
And he.
Now.
Bade.
His.
Disciples.
Accompany.
Him.
Him.
Thither.
Ages, page 334. After he dismissed the multitude, they took him even as he was into the boat, and hastily set off. But they were not to depart alone. There were other fishing boats lying near the shore, and these were quickly crowded with people who followed Jesus, eager to see and hear him.
This is just page 334. The Savior was at last relieved from the pressure of a multitude and overcome with weariness and hunger. He lay down in the stern of the boat and soon fell asleep. The evening had been calm and pleasant, and quiet rested upon the lake, but suddenly darkness overspread the sky. The wind swept wildly down the mountain gorges along the eastern shore, and a fierce tempest burst upon the lake. Desire of Ages, page 334, paragraph 2.
Great job, everyone. Question, boys and girls, why did the Savior fall asleep in the stern of the boat, and what had disturbed the calm and pleasant and quiet resting upon the lake? If you know the answer to this question, dear ones, come along.
The pressure of the multitude and overcome with weariness and hunger. And suddenly darkness overspread the sky. The wind swept wildly down the mountain gorges along the eastern shore, and a fierce tempest burst upon the lake.
And the blackness of night settled down upon the stormy sea. The waves lashed into fury by the howling winds, dashed fiercely over the disciples' boats, and
threatened
to engulf it. Those hardly fishermen had spent their lives upon the lake and had guided the craft safely through many a storm. But now their strength and skill availed nothing. They were helpless in the grasp of the tempest, and hope failed them, and they saw that their boat was foaming.
Good job, dear ones. Question, boys and girls, what threatened to engulf the disciples and the boat, and why that those hardy fishermen fell helpless in the grasp of the tempest. If you know the answer to this question, dear ones, bubble up.
The waves.
The waves.
Lashed.
Lashed.
Into.
Into.
Fury.
Fury.
By.
By.
The.
The.
Howling.
Howling.
Winds.
Winds.
Dashed.
Dashed.
Fiercely.
Fiercely.
And.
And.
Their strength.
Their strength.
And.
And.
Skill.
Skill.
Availed.
Availed.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Absorbed in their efforts to save themselves, they had forgotten that Jesus was on board. Now seeing their labor vain and only death before them, they remembered at whose command they had set out to cross the sea, and Jesus was their only hope. In their helplessness and despair, they cried, "Master, Master." But
the dense darkness hid him from their sight. Their voices were drowned by the roaring of the tempest, and there was no reply. Doubt and fear assailed them. Had Jesus forsaken them? Was he whom had conquered disease and demons and even death powerless to help his disciples now? Was he unmindful of them in their distress? Desire of Ages, 334, paragraph 4.
Desire of Ages, page 234. Again they called, but there was no answer except the shrieking of the angry blast. Already their boat is sinking. A moment, and apparently they will be swallowed up by the hungry waters. Desire of Ages, page 234, paragraph 5.
Question, boys and girls. In whom was their only hope, and what did they do after seeing their labor vain and only death before them? If you have the answer to this question, dear ones, just a minute. This computer's going fast. Bubble up.
The answer is, and Jesus was their only hope. They remembered as whose commandment they had sent out to cross the sea, and in their helplessness and despair, they cried, "Master, Master."
Suddenly a flash of lightning pierced the darkness and they see Jesus lying asleep, undisturbed by the tumult. In amazement and despair, they exclaim, "Master, carest thou not that we perish? How can he rest so peacefully while they are in danger and battling with death?"
Have a blessing, everyone. Desire Ages, page 334. The cry arose Jesus as his lightning glare revealing him that he see the peace of heaven in his face. They read in his glaze the self for They read in his glance self for forgetful tender love, and their heart turned to him, cry out, "Lord, save us, we perish." Desire Ages, 335, paragraph 1. Amen.
Never did a soul utter that cry unheeded. As the disciples grasp their oars to make a last effort, Jesus rises. He stands in the midst of his disciples while the tempest rages, the waves break over them, and the lightning illuminates his countenance. He lifts his hand, so often employed in deeds of mercy, and says, "To the angry sea, peace, be still."
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good job, everyone. Question, boys and girls, mommies or daddies. What was read on Jesus' face by his disciples as the lightning glare revealed him? And what did they see Jesus do as the disciples grasped their oars to make a last effort as Jesus rose? If you know the answer to this question, dear ones, little ones,
they see the peace of heaven in his face. They read in his glance, self-forgetful, tender, love. And he lifts his hands so often and plead in deeds of mercy and says to the angry sea, peace, be still.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's learn a beautiful hymn, dear ones, that tells us Jesus is the same yesterday and forever. If the storms in our life, just remember the relationship we have with Jesus, as Jesus had with his Father, is what brought peace and quietude. So dear ones, don't forget, Jesus is on board. This hymn is going to be shared by our dear brother Josh, and is based on Hebrews chapter 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Sad blessings, everyone. Come sinners to the living one, he's just the same Jesus as when he raised the widow's son. The very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus. Come feast upon the living bread, he's just the same Jesus as when the multitude he fed. The very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus. Come tell him all your griefs and fears, he's just the same Jesus as when he shed those loving tears. The very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus. Still follow him for a clearer light, he's just the same Jesus as when he gave the blind their sight. The very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus. Then calmness waves of trouble be, he's just the same Jesus as when he hushed the raging sea. The very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus. Someday our raptured I shall see, he's just the same Jesus. Oh, blessed day for you and me. The very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus.
Amen. Amen. What a true comfort is that. Dear ones, did you remember last Sabbath when our dear sister Jean had shared the little story about the boy becoming a man? The moral of the story was just because you can't see God, it doesn't mean he's not there. For we walk by faith and not by sight. I did ask if you remember any story in the Bible where as the father looked over the child during the night, who was that particular person in the Bible? Who do you think was the person in the Bible story that while he slept during the night in his weary and conflicts that Jesus was right there with him all the time? I will give you a clue. He is someone that had 12 children. Very good. It was Jacob. So Jesus watched over Jacob during the night as the Indian boy by his father. And you will find that story in Genesis 32:26 in the King James Version. I just want to read two little small quotes from the Spirit of Prophecy. Jesus is waiting to clasp him by the hand, waiting to give him power to live a noble, virtuous life. And also, God often brings people to a crisis to show them their own weaknesses and to point them to the source of strength. If they pray and wash unto prayer, fighting bravely, their weak points will become their strong points. And that was taken from Christ Triumphant, page 89, paragraph 2 and 3. And our dear sister Jean is going to share how precious is Christ over his sheep as a shepherd. Yes, sister, bubble up.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. I will read for Sister Jean until she gets back to her computer. As the shepherd leads his flock over the rocky hills, through forests and wild ravines, to grassy nooks by the riverside, as he watches them on the mountains through the lonely night, shielding from
robbers, caring tenderly for the sickly and feeble, his life comes to be one with theirs. A strong, tender attachment unites him to the objects of his care. However large the flock, the shepherd knows every sheep. Every one has its name and responds to the name at the shepherd's call. As an earthly shepherd knows his sheep, so does the divine shepherd know his flock that are scattered throughout the world. Yea, my flock, the flock of my pasture, and are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. Jesus says, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Ezekiel 34:31 and Isaiah 43:1 and 49:16. Jesus knows us individually and is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows us all by name. He knows the very house in which we live, the name of each occupant. He has at times given directions to his servants to go to a certain street in a certain city, to such a house, to find one of his sheep. Every soul is as fully known to Jesus as if he were the only one for whom the Savior died. The distress of everyone touches his heart. The cry for aid reaches his ear. He came to draw all men unto himself. He bids them, follow me. And his Spirit moves upon their hearts to draw them to come to him. Many refuse to be drawn. Jesus knows who they are. He also knows who gladly hear his call and are ready to come under his pastoral care. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He cares for each one as if there were not another on the face of the earth. Desire of Ages 471:1 to 480, paragraph 1.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Sister Jean, for reading for all of us. And we pray that we will continue keeping those promises in our heart that the Lord's watchful, caring eyes is upon all of us. So we have come to the ending of the first section of our children's Sabbath school lesson. And this is story time. And our dear brother Graves will be the one to narrate it.
Good morning, boys and girls. It's story time. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. James 4:6. Do you want God's grace? Then be humble. You are safe only as in perfect submission. That means you are willing to do what Jesus asks instead of what you want to do. You are safe only as in perfect submission and obedience you connect yourself with Christ. The yoke is easy. For Christ carries the weight. Do you remember what a yoke is? It is something that helps two animals or two people to work together. As you lift the burden of the cross, it will become light. And that cross is to you a pledge of eternal life. It is the pledge of each to follow gladly after Christ, exclaiming at every step, thy gentleness hath made me great. But if we would travel heavenward, or toward heaven, we must take the Word of God as our lesson book. In the words of inspiration, we must read our lessons day by day. Words of inspiration are God's words to us in the Bible and the Spirit of prophecy. The humiliation of man, of the man, Christ Jesus, is incomprehensible to the human mind. That means we cannot understand how God could become a man, but he did, and we believe it. But his divinity and his existence before the world was formed can never be doubted by those who believe the word of God. The Apostle Paul speaks of our mediator, that is someone who defends us in court, like a lawyer. The only begotten Son of God who is in a state of glory was in the form of God, the commander of all the heavenly hosts, and who, when he clothed his divinity with humanity, took upon him the form of a servant. Boys and girls, would you like to be a servant? Well, Jesus was, and he set us an example. In consenting to become man, Christ manifested or showed a humility that is the marvel of the heavenly intelligences. They are the angels and the people on unfallen worlds. They are the angels and the people on fallen worlds who find it hard to understand. The act of consenting to be a man would be no humiliation were it not for the fact that Christ's exalted pre-existence, that means that before this world was created, Jesus was already king. We must open our understanding to realize that Christ laid aside his royal robe, his heavenly crown, his kingly crown, his high command, and clothed his divinity with humanity that he might meet man where he was and bring to the human family moral power to become the sons and daughters of God. To redeem man, Christ became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Sons and Daughters of God, page 81. And again our verse, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore, saith he, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble, James 4:6. If you want grace, you must be humble. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So next week, dear one, we will continue with part 2 in our study entitled Peace Be Still of our lesson book, Desire of Ages. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, would like to have closing prayer, for the love.
Father God, we hope to be in heaven. We hope to pray for God. Jesus, name, we all pray for God. We hope to go to heaven. We hope that they will have his tire fixed in permanent.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So next week, by God's grace, dear ones, chapter 35, Peace Be Still, part 2, that will be held February 13, 2016. Welcome to all of the precious family that are joining us. Forgive me if I was not able to type back, but welcome. And we have also activities that we have prepared for the entire family to enjoy and to continue such a wonderful chapter that tells us about the storms, not only what the disciple went through, but the storms in our life. Don't forget, look around and see where our saviors are, and then you can be able to hold on to him and be at peace, for he's truly in control. God bless each and every one, and may you all have a blessed Sabbath and the rest of the day.